I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Give praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Those blessings come from the heavenly world. They belong to us because we belong to Christ.
Don't worry, Dave. I get 1 Thessalonians and 1 Ephesians confused all the time.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say what a privilege and an honor it is to bring God's message to you this morning. I thank Glenn for asking me. And I hope that each one of you are blessed in a special way through the preaching of God's Word this morning. As I start, I want to ask a question. How many of you remember the Brady Bunch? I'm not talking about the movies that were made about the TV show. I'm talking about, you know, the Brady Bunch TV show with Florence Henderson and Robert Reed, and then they had all the six kids, Greg, Marsha, Peter, Jan, Bobby, and Cindy. There's one episode I remember, and I watched it quite frequently when I was growing up, where Bobby, the youngest boy, climbed up on top of a ladder, and the ladder gave way, and he was left hanging from the windowsill of his room. And Greg, the oldest, found him there and rushed and saved him from falling. And then the rest of the episode, Bobby does everything he can to serve Greg because he is he's very thankful. He wants to repay the debt since Greg basically saved his life. And Bobby tries to help out every way he can, even to the point of making himself a pest. And the show ends with Greg getting end up locked in the freezer of Sam's butcher shop, and then Bobby is able to save him and thus repay the debt. I want to talk this morning about serving. I want to talk about what it means to serve God. I'm going to look at a couple of passages, which might seem a little odd this morning to make the point, but I think it makes the point rather well. We're going to also look at passages from the Old Testament. We're going to look at a couple passages from the New Testament to show why it is that our service to God is so important. And I can't help but think, certainly I was also very blessed to be a part of last week's service and everything that went on, but I particularly want to focus on the message that Dan and Dave Engel pointed out about, you know, not looking behind, but where we want to go as we're moving forward. And I can't help but think how fitting some of the things I'm going to talk about really tie in with last week. And it was unintentional because I actually started putting these down long before they actually got up last Sunday. But I think it does a nice job to fit with what we talked about last week. Now, one of the first things that generally happens with some people when they hear that the church is going to talk about service is they start to become a little uncomfortable because we worry about, well, we're going to get asked to do something. I'm not going to do that this morning. My purpose, what I want to do is maybe have us consider our attitudes towards the worship of God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to look at a group of people that God specifically pointed out and gave them a responsibility of service unto Him. Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting at verse 1. And it says, the priests, who are Levites, indeed the whole tribe of Levi, are to have no allotment or inheritance with Israel. They shall live on the offerings made to the Lord by fire, for that is their inheritance. They shall have no inheritance among their brothers. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. This is the share due the priests from the people who sacrifice a bull or a sheep, the shoulder, the jowls, and the inner parts. You are to give them the first fruits of your grain, new wine, and oil, and the first wool from the shearing of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen them and their descendants out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the Lord's name always. I think the first thing we need to remember is probably the most important thing, is we need to consider our service to God as a privilege. It is a privilege to serve God. Now, as you read through Exodus, we learn that the Israelites were left in bondage to Egypt. And after God had delivered them out of Egypt, he appointed Moses as their guide, but he also appointed Moses' brother Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. And this happened because when Aaron was commissioned to build the golden calf, if you remember the story of the golden calf where all the Israelites started worshiping the calf while Moses was up on Mount Sinai, Moses challenged the people and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And that challenge was responded by the tribe, the people of Levi. And it was because of their response that God chose this tribe to serve him. And it was done as a privilege to them. So we read here in verse 2, chapter 18, Deuteronomy, they are to have no inheritance in the promised land. And it's very easy for us to think that somehow this tribe got slighted somehow by God. I'm going to move this down a little bit because I think I'm talking rather loud. We read in the book of Numbers, there's a long, extensive, several chapters where the people of Israel are starting to take over the land. And so we read that, you know, three of the tribes take land in the southern area. You know, and that included Judah and Benjamin. We got seven tribes that basically took over the northern kingdom, and then Gad and Reuben wanted land on the east side of the Jordan River. And in the case of Manasseh, who was one of the sons of Joseph, half of their tribe settled in a large area in the northern kingdom, but a smaller part settled in the eastern side of the Jordan. And then Joshua also tells us that there was a special allotment of land that were given to both Joshua and Caleb because they were the only two spies that sought out the promised land that came back with an encouraging word, and they stayed faithful. They stayed faithful to God. Then we read in Joshua chapter 18, verse 7, the same thing we've just read here in Deuteronomy. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. It seems a little unfair, doesn't it? All the other tribes, the other 12 tribes, they got to choose the best part of the land that they wanted to live in. They're able to establish themselves as a community. They're able to grow crops. They're able to buy, sell, and trade and do all of the other things that allow them to be a part of a community. But that's not so for the Levites. They don't get any of that. And from a humanistic point of view, where material wealth is seen as those who are successful and those who are not, it seems as though that the other tribes had it better off than the Levites. But let's take a look at exactly what God did for the tribe of Levi. First of all, he gave them job security. They never had to look for work because God gave it to them. And they had a wonderful retirement plan. They were encouraged to work at the age of 25, and they were allowed to retire at the age of 50. That's what God did to the Levites. And yes, sometimes the work was very hard, but it was always rewarding because their work was for the Lord. It was always encouraging. In addition, God gave them room and board. In Joshua chapter 21, it says that each tribe were to give a part of their land to the Levites, And that included the places of refuge. If you remember when an Israelite accidentally killed another person, they were to flee and live in these cities of refuge. Those places were also given to the Levites to live. And in addition to the land, God also provided their food, their clothing, and their other needs. Back in Deuteronomy, if you turn with me to chapter 26, let's take a look at what God promised. And this is actually speaking specifically of those who were going to be giving these items to the Lord and to the Levites. Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting at verse 11. And you and the Levite and the alien who is among you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and your household. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levites, to the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. You shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion from my house, and also have given it to the Levite and the alien, the orphan, and the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed or forgotten any of your commandments. God commanded the other tribes to give back a tenth of what the Lord had blessed them with, and since they were a shepherding community, that usually meant a sheep or some other kind of animal, but it also included vegetables and grain and wine and wool and other items. The people would bring these to the priest, and the priest would get the meat for food and as payment for their service to the Lord. So when the Lord told the Levites that he would be their inheritance, it was actually done as a greater privilege than what all the other nations received. They got to serve God. They got to serve God. And God provided for them. And in addition, God shows us that our inheritance, like the Levites, isn't about earthly things, but it's about heavenly things, just as the Levites were. That's our inheritance. Our inheritance isn't anything we get here on earth, but it's for what we do unto the Lord and where our inheritance is actually beyond this age. So I'm going to stop here for a minute because I want to pause and just focus in on the privilege it is that the Levites gathered. You know, I bet if I were to ask Dan, and I know I've talked to him several times about being up here and being able to preach the Word every Sunday, I bet he would tell me that he considers that to be a true privilege. I bet if I stopped and talked to the three elders and asked them, you know, about their service to the Lord and to our deacons too, I'm sure each one of them would say, you know what, it is a true privilege to serve the Lord. We have many people here in this church who can teach and lead Bible studies and lead songs. We have some that are real skilled at being carpenters and landscapers. And this whole new area of worship is actually a result of the many individuals who are willing to serve. We have several individuals who are willing to cook a meal for somebody and take it to them. And you know, the list goes on and on. The truth is, we should consider all of these things a privilege to be in service to God. And while so many people serve in a number of ways, let's not begin to think that we can't improve in that area, because we can. Our service should be improved, and actually, our service as a church should involve everyone. Everybody can do something, and everybody should be a part of the service to the Lord. We are to have a fervency of spirit in serving the Lord because of our desire of loving the Lord, of worshiping Him in sincerity and obeying His commands with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And to engage us more effectually to the performance of this part of our duty, let's consider the general obligations we lie under to serve the Lord with that fervency of spirit. In the first place, as the Almighty, is the creator of the world. He is also the father of the human race. He is likewise our preserver and the author of all order and harmony within the universe. Seeing that He upholds our existence and is the parent of so many mercies upon us, has He not, as our supreme benefactor, a title to the service of our whole lives? And this appears still more when we consider the superior obligations which Christianity lays us under. While many nations are sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, on us has the Son of Righteousness arisen in full glory. And what thanks, what services shall we not then render to our supreme benefactor who has translated us from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son? Service to God is something we all need to be a part of. There's something each one of us can do. And I'd like us to consider something. If we are actively in service to God, that allows us to move towards the spiritual maturity in which we are to be. Because that's putting our faith into action. And while our service, there's a lot of service that needs to be done to help maintain the worship here in this church, such as, you know, making sure that the building's clean and the grass is cut, and those things are very important. We need to also remember that our service better be outside these walls too. That is our service to others. That's what allows them to see Jesus actively working in our lives. So if this is true, then the opposite is also true. If we are not actively involved in some type of service for the Lord, then we will be lacking in spiritual maturity and also in our service to others. We ought to remind ourselves that it is our service to God and to others which was the distinguishing factor that Jesus used as He separated the sheep from the goats, His followers from those who were not. And we understand from this illustration that we are, as a people of God, commanded to serve Him and to serve others. And we should feel privileged to serve Him in any way that we can. Just as the Lord promised as a part of their service to take care of the Levites' needs, I think the second thing we need to consider is that the Lord promises to take care of our needs too, as long as we are involved in service to Him. This is actually one of the truths of Scripture which we often hear about, and, you know, we agree with. And even though we agree with it, sometimes we're a little reluctant to give it a try. God did promise to take care of the Levites' needs, and He did. He did. God promises to meet our needs too. Consider, if you will, the prophet Malachi, as he speaks in chapter 3, verse 10, when he says, this is God speaking through the prophet, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Now, God is specifically speaking here about tithing, which is also a part of our service. But the same truth applies here as it does to any other service we do for Him. God says He will take care of our needs. He will open the floodgates with blessings. And that doesn't necessarily mean money. But as Josiah read in the book of Ephesians, God says that He has withheld no spiritual blessings on any of His people. He has given them already. They're done. We have them. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's what God's promise is to all believers, is that He will take care of us. You know, when Jesus was getting ready to send out His disciples the very first time, very early in His ministry, what did He tell them? He said, don't take anything with you. Take no food, take no clothes, take nothing with you other than the Word of God. And why? Because that made them have to rely totally and depend on God. Jesus knew that God would supply their needs. He would take care of them. And that's what he wanted his disciples to learn as well. Jesus further emphasized this point when he spoke about not worrying about food and clothing, because our Father in heaven already knows we need these things. He knows we need them. And as God feeds the creatures of the earth, so too he promises to take care of our needs. That's Matthew chapter 6, 23 through 34. That was God's promise to the Levites. And it is a promise that God makes to us as well. Unfortunately, and isn't it odd that I have to follow everything I just said with the word unfortunately? Unfortunately, the Levites did not do a very good job of serving the Lord. As you continue reading through the Old Testament, especially into the prophets, we see how God was greatly displeased with his people, the Levites. And why? Because they were the ones out in front that were leading the people into idolatry worship. They took what God had given them as a privilege, and they took it for granted. And so, the situation got so bad that God said enough is enough, and he brought punishment on his people as a result. Both Israel and Judah were taken into captivity by Assyria and Babylon. And it was during this time of captivity that God calls another guy by the name of Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 44. This was part of our reading, if you're reading through the daily readings. We just finished the book of Ezekiel, and it was as we were reading this portion that I started putting these thoughts together because I thought that it fit very well. God gives a vision to the prophet Ezekiel, and he's giving him a vision that talks about a time when the people will leave captivity, go back to their area, and so Ezekiel is given the instructions on the reconstruction of the temple and also the reestablishment of the priesthood when that captivity came to an end. I'm going to be in chapter 44 of Ezekiel, starting at verse 10. I'm going to read to verse 16, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 28. Starting at verse 10. The Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, and who wandered from me after their idols, must bear the consequences of their sin. They must serve in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the temple and serving in it. They may slaughter the burnt offerings and sacrifices for the people and stand before the Lord and serve them. But because they served them in the presence of their idols and made the house of Israel fall into sin, therefore I have sworn with uplifted hand that they must bear the consequences of their sin, declares the Sovereign Lord. They are not to come near to serve me as priest or come near any of my holy things or my most holy offerings. They must bear the shame of their detestable practices. Yet I will put them in charge of the duties of the temple and all the work that is to be done in it. But the priests who are Levites and descendants of Zadok and who faithfully carried out the duties of my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me are to come near to minister before me. They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood, declares the Sovereign Lord. They alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and perform my service. And then dropping down to verse 28. I am to be the only inheritance the priests have. You are to give them no possession in Israel. I will be their possession. They will eat the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings, and everything in Israel devoted to the Lord will belong to them. The best of all the first fruits and all of your special gifts will belong to the priest. You are to give them the first portion of your ground meal so that a blessing may rest on your household. The priest must not eat anything, bird or animal, found dead or torn by wild animals. So God here really voices his displeasure with the Levites. But by his grace, by His grace, He will still allow them to do some menial tasks, but they are no longer to serve Him in the most important and the most holy task. That alone is reserved for the sons of Zadok. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time this morning on who the character Zadok is, but I do think it's important that we kind of briefly mention him so we can appreciate exactly what God is saying here in Ezekiel. In 1 Chronicles, we learn that Zadok was one of the Levitical priests during the time of King David. And he was a very righteous man. And he's also listed as one of David's officials in 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 16. And he's described as a brave young warrior in King David's army. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 28. It's because they chose not to turn away, but to rather continue in their service to God, that God chooses them alone to be able to do the most privileged work in the temple. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 48, the last chapter, and God Himself shares exactly why Zadok's sons are the ones chosen as priests. I'm only going to read a couple of verses, 11 and 12. And it says, "The holy allotment shall be for the priests who are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, who have kept my charge, who did not go astray when the sons of Israel went astray as the Levites went astray. It shall be an allotment to them from the allotment of the land, a most holy place by the border of the Levites." The lesson Zadok gives for us is that we better not take the service of the Lord for granted. It is truly a privilege to serve the Lord, but it is not a privilege that we should take light of. We need to very seriously consider, why are we serving the Lord? What is it about? Because our service, our attitude towards the service of the Lord does matter. God wants a people to serve Him because of the love and adoration that we have for our God. Not to please ourselves, not to please other people, not for people to pat us on the back and tell us what a great job we did. That's not what it's about. It's about giving the glory and the honor, everything we have, unto God. That's what it's about. And that's exactly what the Psalms direct us towards. Psalm 2, verse 11, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." We're to worship and serve the Lord with fear and reverence for Him alone. That's why we are to serve Him. That's why we were made to serve Him, because He is worthy of our service. Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing." Not only are we to serve the Lord with reverence, but we do so gladly, because it's a privilege to serve the Lord. We don't care about what it costs us, but rather our thoughts are centered on what our service does to benefit our God. We serve with devotion and commitment and joy to our God. So now a question. Everything that we've read specifically so far from the book of Deuteronomy and in here to Ezekiel has specifically dealt with the Levites. How does that apply to us? I don't think any one of us can trace our line back and say, we are from the tribe of Levi. So what in the world do any of these verses have for us? It's not like God has called us to service, right? I don't want to answer this. I think God's Word can speak for itself. Let's be reminded, God established and anointed a priesthood that was through Aaron. And this priesthood was supposed to continue for all times. That's what we read in Exodus chapter 40, verse 15. But as we read in Ezekiel, the Levites left this position to engage in idolatry and disobedience. And as one reads Ezekiel chapter 8 and then chapters 40 through the end of the book, you begin to get the impression not just that God is frustrated with these people, but I challenge you to read this and see if you don't see that there's almost an amazement of sorts as God is speaking. It's like, I gave them everything. How could they leave me? How could they leave the very privilege that I gave them? And they took it for granted. So God took this privilege away. But that does not mean that the priesthood has not continued unto now. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to be reading out of verse 1 to verse 9. Actually, I'm going to go back and just cover chapter 4, verse 15 as I pick it up there, because it speaks of the same thing. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. He's speaking about Aaron here and the Levitical tribe. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who believe him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So we do have a high priest today. And no, that priesthood is not Levitical, because Jesus' tribe was from Judah. It wasn't from Levi. But Jesus has been appointed by God to be the high priest, just as Aaron was during the time of Israel. So if Jesus is our high priest, then who are the priests? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So the priesthood that is now and forevermore involves the followers of Jesus. He is our high priest. And if you are a Christian, you are a priest. And as a priest of Christ, guess what? We need to be unto service unto the Lord. That is our job. That was the responsibility of the Levites. That is our responsibility now. It is our responsibility. We must, as Christians, be busy about the Lord's work. And it's that... I'm sorry, I got my messages here. I got my line messed up here. Oh, okay. I don't understand what I'm saying here in my notes. It's not that we've got to do it. It's we get to.
Amen.
It's a privilege. We get to serve the Lord. It should be a privilege of each and every one of us to be tending to the Lord's work. But we can't take this work for granted. We need to realize that whatever it is we accomplish, the credit, the honor, and glory go to God, not us. And if we try to serve the Lord,
the way we want to and not the way He's commanded, then our service is not going to be any more acceptable to God than the Levitical priests and their services were acceptable to Him. I want you to do something this morning because it really ties in with my illustration through the Brady Bunch. Look at the person sitting next to you. If the person sitting next to you did something that saved your life, would you not feel an obligation unto them to serve them in some way to try and repay that debt? I think most of us would say, yes, I owe them a service. Friends, God has saved all of our lives through the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. So shouldn't we also consider it a privilege to serve Him with everything we have? Shouldn't we too be willing to give everything we have for Him, considering everything He's done for us? Serving God is our responsibility. Let's not take it for granted. Today's topic would not be complete if I didn't at least include the passage that comes from Joshua chapter 24. Just as the people were getting ready to move into their land, Joshua challenged the people, and I think he challenges us today. It's a passage we're all familiar with. Most of us nod in agreement and approval when we hear it. This is what it says. Verse 15, "Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Understand that when we say that, when we say we believe that, that doesn't mean that it's just simple belief in the Lord. It's putting our service into action. That's what Joshua was commanding or challenging the people. Be a people that is in service to God. That's what it's about. So this morning, I'm not going to ask any of you to do anything other than to consider, have you considered the service of the Lord to be a privilege and an honor? Well, sometimes that privilege may mean getting involved into something that we're not all that good at, or maybe something we don't really want to do. Brother Glenn mentioned to me not that long ago the importance that this church has to training and equipping other people to be a part of the service of the Lord. Here at this church, it's something we need to be a part of, even if it's something we're not all that good at yet. As we go to our time of invitation, I would like you to consider, have you given everything you can to the Lord? Have we taken it for granted? Isn't it time that we consider the very service of God is truly a great privilege? It's a privilege God has given to us as His priesthood, His royal people, His royal priesthood. Could be that maybe there are some today that want to be a part of the service of God. Maybe they just don't know what to do. I challenge you to come and talk with our elders. Maybe you haven't been a part of the service yet because you really haven't given thought as to, should I give my life to Christ? That's where it starts. So if you are sitting there and you haven't put on the Lord in baptism this morning, the invitation is still yours. It's time to start our service to God because He has given us everything through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Would you consider now, if you have a need, to come forward and speak with our elders as we stand and sing?